track 8. And now we come to letters to the editor. We have two letters today. One will be read by Beryl and the other one by Malcolm.
Local Healthcare, submitted by Michael Joyce of Newton Abbott. As chair of the local patient groups, I and my colleagues have for some time become increasingly concerned with the pressures that those providing healthcare in our town are facing. It is so easy for those of us of a more mature age to remember when you were able to turn up at your appointed surgery and almost be guaranteed on seeing a doctor or health professional. Regrettably, those days are no longer with us, it seems. So the question is, what has gone wrong? COVID keeps being mentioned, even today, but since that period, things have never got back to normal, and in some small way that is true. So why has it not returned? Have things really changed that much? There is no getting away from it. There is a greater reluctance of healthcare professionals to join general practice because it seems those who would, in the past, moved into this area see the pressures as the main concern. Recently, several local practices held vaccination clinics for the spring booster of COVID. It seems in at least one surgery, having opened up especially on a Saturday, only 15% of patients invited or indicated they would attend did so, leaving the practice running that day at a loss. All practices are contracted to the NHS, not owned by the NHS. They are, in essence, a business and therefore, like all businesses, need to be able to survive financially. They have to bid to provide services like flu, COVID clinics and other such facilities in competition with pharmacies and other providers. Integrated health system has yet to come to being and practices still struggle with delays in discharge information becoming available, with patients arriving back at practice with little or no notice or information available to the practice. It has to be reliable in many instances in patients being the provider of the information, which, in my opinion, is unacceptable and dangerous. So what can we as patients do? Well, in my opinion, keep appointments or at the very least let your practice know as soon as possible if you cannot keep an appointment. Communicate with our MP and others our concerns. And finally, support our practices wherever possible when they provide clinics rather than go elsewhere. Lastly, yes, we all get frustrated, even me, when I am hanging on to get through or trying to get information. Please remember, the person on the other end, they really are doing their best to assist. So to help them help you, consider joining your PPG and become a voice of support for your practice. I assure you, they will really welcome it.
Under the heading, Tynmouth looks like a worn-out boot, Janine Perrier of Tynmouth writes, after spending a while abroad again, it was so noticeable how dirty Tynmouth has become in recent years. Driving from Morrison's towards the centre, all you see are dirty pavements with weeds, houses with filthy windowsills, filthy walls, dirty gutters full of moss, spilling out the old building opposite Tesco Express, the worst ever, looking like something of the third world. Do the owners of this carbuncle not have a duty of care? Does the town council not have a duty of care? Do we as individuals not have a duty of care? How much does it take in effort to pick a few weeds out of your gutter once in a while, instead of letting grow into full-scale shrubs? How much does it cost to get a bucket and brush and clean up your windowsills and wash your walls off algae once in a while? The road signs approaching Tynmouth from every direction grubby, all the council plantations in and around Tynmouth full of weeds, the worst in Bitton Park Road, opposite the fire station, by the college in Higher Exeter Road, the messy and filthy banners by Sheldon Bridge, not one hanging straight. I know the council's totally cash-strapped due to lack of funding by the current government, but we could set up volunteer groups to tackle some of the issues. I'm hereby volunteering. If you look at Dawlish, Holcombe, which by all accounts must be just as cash-strapped, all looks immaculately clean, well-kept and looked after. So why can they do it? Do people take more pride in their surroundings in Dawlish, Holcombe? Then there is a row ongoing in Newton Abbot about the pedestrianisation of Queen Street. Big row by traders. My view is that if more streets were pedestrianised in Newton Abbot, as well as in Tynmouth, Wellington Street springs to mind, I would be shopping there all the time, as opposed to me ordering items from Amazon. As for someone with mobility issues, it's bliss not having to step on and off crowded pavements to let people pass and be careful of not stepping in front of a car. The buses could stop by the station or at the post office, as they currently already do, without the need to fume out Wellington Street with idling buses. On that matter, when will the park and ride ever come on the agenda again? With councils, as with all the households being built left, right and centre in around Dawlish, Tynmouth and Newton Abbot, congestion only going to increase in the future. We should have the discussion about these things now, not in 5 years' time. I do appreciate that some councillors, like David Cox, are always litter-picking, cleaning graffiti, being involved in all sorts of projects like food banks, helping in all manner of projects, volunteering and helping others. But what about other councillors? Remember, the elections are coming.